Welcome to episode 11 of season 5. If you've just joined, this is Maria from at Maria the Arcane everywhere. And I'm joined by our supreme overlordess, a tired witch on Instagram.
Yes, I'm the overlord. Hello, hello. Yes.
And we're back with our main episodes. Woo-hoo! After like a very, very long break. But yes, We're back.
If you don't know what happened. Yeah, listen to our last episode.
Yeah. Our coffee talk explains everything.
Yeah, where we've been, what we've been doing, what we're up to, and why we were gone.
Yes. But we did want to tell you guys. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Okay. We do want to tell you guys about the class that we're having this month, which is on August 31st at 12 p.m. PST for our creative writing with mythology. And that's going to be hosted by Samantha Weisberg. Hopefully I said that correctly.
I believe so.
But we're very excited. I love creative writing and with mythology.
I think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. And I hope it's all like Greek mythology because that's my jam.
Is that your jam? You're such a dork.
That's my jam. I know.
And if you are somebody who listens to our coffee talk episodes, this season we started taking voicemails, but we are still taking your email submissions as well. So if you would like to send us a story for us to read during our coffee talk episodes, you can either email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to our submissions form, or you can leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799. It does have a 3-minute cap, so if you get cut off, just call back and continue. We will smash it all together.
Yes. We need more of them, guys. Come on.
We got a couple, actually, and I'm really, I'm really excited to listen to them. Look at me with my hands. I'm like, yes. I'm really excited to listen to them, actually.
But yeah, we're getting into spooky season, so we need some really good ghost stories.
Yes.
So yeah, send them our way.
Yes, very, very excited. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. So the nearest major one to us in the day that this comes out is going to be on August 19th. It is the full moon in Aquarius. And moons, specifically full moons in Aquarius, are a really good time for creative innovation, thinking outside the box, the way you interact with your community and connecting with that community. And if Aquarius was a job, it would be a drag queen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or a very eccentric painter.
Yes. Right? So exactly. Yes. So this is really kind of being all out, being creative, being loud, and not loud necessarily in volume, but loud in how we express ourselves and just kind of pushing the limits. And so if we're looking at the full moon in Aquarius in activities, this would be a really good time to try new things. Perhaps you're going to take a bone throwing class, or you're going to make your own runes, or go dance naked under the moonlight for the first time. But do do so, please, in a secluded, safe area. I don't want you to get arrested.
Yes. Do it on private property.
Yeah, do it on private property with lots of trees. Or don't. You know what? Roll the dice. That's your choice. You're an adult, and you are free to make those choices how you see fit. If I was going to give you guys a direction to kind of go down in terms of something like really practical, although we often connect the Pisces moons with like divination, I actually think that the Aquarius moon is really good for divination as well. It is about thinking outside of the box, but in my opinion, thinking outside of the box in that scenario is also about like hearing the opinions from outside influences. So that would look like spirit work, new types of divination to you and learning how to interpret that, scrying, candle, like candle divination. I forget what that's called. Is it cartomancy? No, cartomancy is with cards. You know what I'm talking about when you interpret wax.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Another recommendation would be to go try out a group pagan meetup. Maybe this is you're going to explore a coven. Maybe this is going to a drum circle or a open coven ritual that you've never been to. Try something new, you know? And I think you should explore these sort of things. And if we are going to a new coven meetup, maybe the intention is just to do ritual. I think it's nice. I think it's a good idea.
So, like in this month's monthly outlook for like our Patreon, I really looking at like we had the dark moon in Leo, we had the new moon in Leo, and now we're in Aquarius. I feel like this whole month is just like the month of self.
Yes.
Because Leo is about like focusing on yourself and Aquarius is about like focusing on who you are uniquely and expressing that in like a creative way. Yeah. So well, we have obviously moved past the Leo new moon quite a while ago, but I do feel like using Aquarius to embrace our uniqueness, and we can do that through creative expression, through like maybe you're doing some word witchery. Maybe are just like painting, like doing that witchery painting where you're painting out your intentions, like using color correspondences and stuff. Like you don't have to be an artist.
You actually do have to be an artist.
Do you though?
Yes.
Oh, everyone's an artist.
Everyone's an artist.
There's an art major somewhere on here being like, are they?
I'd like to immediately overrule them because I actually went to a fine art university for college. and my focus was in classical revival sculpture. So I think I think I overrule anyone who says that.
but yeah, I think
I
just like doing spell work.
I got 100% in color theory. Okay, so
did you?
I did.
Did you?
I did actually.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Good job.
I never want to see gouache again in my entire life, and I've stood by that since that day. So.
Well, while you guys might not have taken a color theory class, you can still explore your own color theories through correspondences and like smearing stuff on canvas and just like doodling out your intentions or writing out your intentions.
There's actually going off of that, there's a really cool practice that you can do where you listen to music that has some sort of connection for you for whatever it is that you're focusing on. So let's say you're a Swiftie and I don't know a single Taylor Swift song title. So we're going to pretend like I just named one. And that song means a lot to you. Put that on repeat and you're going to paint what you feel.
I like that.
There's no object. Like it's painting what you feel. I think that's nice.
Yeah. You could even do like, instead of just writing out a simple intention, maybe you write out like a short story about your intention.
Oh, yeah.
Like how you want it to go. And you can create, you know, like a little fantasy world around it, but with the intention being there that this is what you want to happen, even though it's like, you know.
You can collage like this too. There's your possibilities are endless. Your possibilities are endless.
Yeah, so go express your creative, unique selves this Aquarius full moon. Have fun. So, if you have just joined us, every single episode, besides our coffee talk episodes, we talk about tarot. Like, we go over, like, I don't know, past seasons, we've gone over, like, individual meanings of cards. And last season, we went over, like, the whole sections in tarot. In this season, we're concentrating on themes we see in readings using tarot. So, I don't know, we've gone over a lot of themes so far, and they've been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just, like, Yeah, looking at themes like really helps us build that like storytelling aspect to cards, which is very, very important when you're reading for yourself or for others.
Yes.
But so this week we're concentrating on getting outside of comfort zones. So we're going to each mention a couple of cards, which we think would represent like telling who you're reading for or reading for yourself that it's maybe time to kind of, you know, ditch those comfort zones and try
think
something
outside
new.
Outside the box, okay. Like the full moon.
Exactly. Embrace that Aquarius full moon, yes, again with your tarot readings. But so my first card I picked is Judgment. And for me, this literally shows like rising out of your comfort zones, because we see the people on the Rider-Waite-Smith version rising out of like their coffins and they're just naked the day that they, you know, came into the world just as they are. And it's just about like finding that self acceptance. And our comfort zones like aren't always typically healthy or right for us. Mm-hmm. And but they do become like our normal and our like go-tos, even though we know that we need to like leave them. And Judgment kind of just like applauds someone or pushes them to, you know, accept themselves for just who they are in the path that they want to go on. Mm-hmm. And then even in that case, when you show up just as you are outside of your comfort zone, your toxic comfort zone, and actually are, you know, out in the world as yourself, that way you find community that you actually want to be involved in and you feel listened to and accepted and loved for just who you are, because these people are just like you. Like, you're fully yourself, and so you'll find other people who are also fully themselves. And then the next card, the Ten of Cups reversed. Now, this also to me is about like comfort zones that aren't exactly healthy for us. It's like the comfort zone, it shows the comfort zones that like we were raised in, but like let's say that you're gay. And, but you were, you know, your parents were both like straight people and they kind of like push that ideology onto you. The Ten of Cups tells you kind of to break with that tradition, break with that toxic comfort zone, and just once find your own unique happiness. You don't have to be so conservative with your own future and with your own happiness. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're being happy for yourself, that you are creating the life that you really want and that will actually offer you real emotional fulfillment, not what you're told mm-hmm. emotionally fulfills you. And then the final card, the Tower. The universe exactly. This is when the universe is like, no, you don't need this anymore.
It's not it.
No. You look at everything you built, honey, because it's about to come crashing down. No. You don't, when the tower pops up, you don't really get a choice to stay in said comfort zone. It's literally the universe is being like, everything you built, amazing, awesome. Now it's time to say goodbye to it and do something new.
Right,
yeah. Now, like the last thing that you want to do in a tower situation is hang on for dear life, because I always see this like in readings, the tower reverses and the person's like, my life is in utter chaos. And I'm like, okay, well, let's explore that.
Let's see why that might be.
What have you been, you know, holding on to that you should not be holding on to anymore? Like what is specifically going wrong for you that you need to just leave and accept? It's kind of like also that like Eight of Cups sort of thing where you're like, you're emotionally attached to this, but it's time to go. But instead the universe is like literally turning your world upside down and shaking you, mm-hmm. you know, out of place so you yeah. can go on to the right track. But yeah, how about you? What are your comfort zones?
So the first one I picked is the Five of Cups, because the Five of Cups, we have that figure that is looking down at the spilled milk, if you will, and is obsessing mm-hmm. over it, right? And struggling to see the world around them. But sometimes our comfort zone can be the thing that we like focus on, that we refuse to like walk away from. Even grief can mm-hmm. become a comfort. Think about how many people mm-hmm. find themselves in toxic cycles where they're struggling to walk away from something that is no longer serving them because it's what they know and it's comfortable. I mean, that's how so many people end up finding themselves in bad relationships that are mirroring what they saw growing up, right? And that's not a judgment. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an unfortunate cycle that people can find themselves in. When I see the Five of Cups, of course, it also depends on what the reading is about, what's going on around us. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that really tells us that we've got to break out of this cycle. We've got to try something new and we've got to get out of our comfort zone, even if it's scary. So that was my first card. The second card I picked is the Six of Cups. The Six of Cups, I'm trying to think of how to word this in terms of comfort zones. The Six of Cups is all about sticking in the past, right? It's about childlike wonder. It's about nostalgia. And just like that Five of Cups, where we might find ourselves focusing on something that it's time to let go of and break away from, the Six of Cups can also have us repeating historic behaviors. It's all about the past. It's all about nostalgia. It's all about child stuff, right? And being a little immature sometimes. So sometimes in client readings, when the Six of Cups comes up, it's not the childlike wonder that the card is necessarily known for, but it's instead immature behavior. It is falling back on old patterns and behaviors that we had previously maybe grown away from that we're circling back to. And it's time to try something new because we're falling into old behaviors, especially if it's in reverse. This is one of those cards that when it comes to breaking out of cycles and walking away from our comfort zone, I feel like contextually, both upright and reverse have the same meaning. Again, it's contextual with the question and the cards around it, but I think that they can both be quite negative cards. In love, we can see it as a puppy love reading, but we can also see it as this card of repeating the same behavior we've repeated for the last 30 years and expecting a different result. And the final card that I chose is the Two of Wands. This card very specifically is talking about going on a journey and being at a fork in the road and kind of deciding what to do, right? So when this card comes up, it is quite literally, in my opinion, presenting us with, do we take the path that we know or do we take the path untraveled? And it is telling you that you have this opportunity to try something very new for you. And that might be unknown, that might be unfamiliar, but when life presents us with two choices, in my opinion, the Two of Wands tells us that both choices are going to be good for us. They're just going to have different outcomes. So why not try the one you've never done before?
Exactly. And I wanted to, like, not many readers talk about it, but he's literally standing on top of a tower.
Literally.
But if he just stays there.
Yeah, you gotta move. You gotta make a choice. Otherwise, shit or get off the pot.
Imagine getting that card in the tower right afterwards. It's like,
I would throw up. I would throw up. It would not be good.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Better make moves, honey, and make them fast.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, because last month we had scheduled the topic of herb allies to be our solo main segment, we decided to just do it again since we didn't get to do it last month.
We're not going to not talk about my favorite subject.
Yeah, like, really.
No, we are going to talk about it.
So that being said, Maria, what the heck is an herb ally?
Well, let me tell you.
What the heck is a plant ally, if you could?
Do you ever grow through, like, spurts of using a specific plant for, like, a long period of time?
I've never done that.
Do you really not?
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Of course I do.
I was like, wow, this is going to be a very tough conversation then.
I've never done that in my entire life. I'm actually better than everyone else.
I'll say, so, Robin's like, I'm here to learn too, guys.
No, of course I do that. Yeah, of course I do. There's comfort foods, there's comfort plants, right?
Exactly. So it's like finding that special connection with a plant and you find yourself wanting to use it all the time. And I really feel like that's the spirit of the plant, like calling us and asking us to like work with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And forming them is like very, very useful because it gives you the opportunity to work on that plant at a deeper level and want to learn more about it. So you like focus on this one particular plant, you learn all you can learn about it, and then you have like this tremendous amount of knowledge, like whenever when you pick it up or when you switch, you know, to different ones, you're like, okay, well, I know all about this plant, now I'm going to start working with this one because I feel called to and learn all about this. And then you're like, all of a sudden, like years down the line, you're like, well, I know all this stuff about plants because I gave, you know, a bunch of like time and energy towards them, like learning them and like experiencing them and all that. But yeah, I feel like it's just an ally who is there for you, just like any spirit or guide that is helping you through specific times in your life when you feel called to use them.
Every single time you say the word ally, I think of that sound with the ally.
I have heard that one.
Oh my God, I'm about to send it to you. We love gay people. She's an ally. Ally. Anyway, I completely agree with you. I do think that herbs, plants, I think plants is probably a better way to word this. I don't know why I called it herb allies. I think it sounded fun to say, but I think it's better to say plant allies. I have a few myself that I use in literally everything. Because I do feel like I've built this connection with it. And if you actually look at, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Familiars and the, like, deeper meaning of what a familiar is outside of, like, an animal that a witch might keep. They are much more aligned with, like, animist ideas. And you can have this kind of spirit of a plant, a crystal, something like that, that you continuously work with as aid in your spell work. And I feel like that's really all this is. It's another form of saying the same thing. Yeah. So if you had to say what your, like, what are your go-to plant allies?
Let's see. Okay.
At least
so
right now.
At this moment, passion flower, because I recently found some wild passion flower, like growing near my house, and they're so beautiful,
they are really beautiful
and like so gorgeous. And it's, I don't know, like I go through spurts of working with plants that I find in my local area, and like, it's just nice knowing that they're there and you can form like this deep connection with them because you can literally touch them, you can cut them yourself, and you can help cultivate so they keep growing in that same area. But yes, passion flower. And I've been working with motherwort for, maybe like 3 to 4 years now, quite a bit. I just find it's a very comforting herb. Very comforting plant.
She's got
to
no
work
idea
with.
What she's saying, everyone.
It's like the mama bear of plants, I feel like, because it's a great protection plant, but it's also great at like helping you believe in yourself and like cultivating growth. It's kind of like the empress, but a plant. And I've been working with, like, I've always worked with lavender. For, you know, since starting my practice, I mean, that's such an easy plant to like get a hold of, but I feel like I've been using it a lot more often, for spirit work. And I don't know, I just really love working with lavender. It's such a great plant, an easy plant to work with and to find. And then obviously rosemary, you can't work with like Hestia and not like work with like rosemary. So I work with rosemary quite often and use it for like home blessing stuff and to increase, like if I'm feeling very worn down or anything, I like using rosemary to kind of remind me of my vitality and to keep me going. You know, even when things get hard, rosemary still thrives in like the worst environments.
Okay, metaphor.
That's why you find correspondences through
it's
their
true.
Metaphors.
It's true. Rosemary also grows as tall as Jesus was before he died. Did you know that?
Oh, that's so interesting.
And I think it's really interesting. I mean, I don't believe in the Bible per se, but I do find that to be really very interesting that that's the like folklore that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's also supposed to be the same color as Jesus's eyes.
I'm trying to now, like, which side of the rosemary? One side's lighter and one side's darker. Yeah,
it's the bluey-green side.
It's both.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
I don't remember where that's from. It's because that shit is not in the Bible.
Folklore book. I bet you in a folklore book somewhere.
Somewhere. I don't remember. I heard that like 10 years ago, so don't ask me for a source. for me, mine are all going to be so obvious, I feel like. Because I do work with spirits so much, and like death as a personification, I obviously work with Santa Muerte. My allies all very much so align with that. So I put myrrh in everything, just about everything. Myrrh is something that was originally used to wash bodies of the dead and prepare them for burial. And therefore I always put myrrh in stuff because it puts that layer of connection immediately to spirit and spirit aids. I also use, mullein. Pretty much everything. Mullein is a plant equivalent to grave dirt. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It also can be used to draw in and block out spirits. If you make hag torches with mullein, you can use them to light to like bring in spirits. You can also hang mullein in your house to ward them off, or keep a mullein plant outside your door to ward them off.
I love mullein.
Me too. I think mullein is very versatile, and I just have a really good relationship with mullein in general. I think it's great.
If you like, I also like to use it for like communication spells, because mullein's so good for like the lungs. Like,
that makes sense.
I'm not promoting it, guys. I'm not promoting it.
She's telling you to smoke mullein, you guys. She wants you to die. This is crazy. Everyone cancel her.
But it's supposed to help support your lungs.
Interesting. Interesting to me personally that Maria wants you guys dead. We all heard it here first. It's sick. It's twisted. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. It is, but so is mugwort. Mugwort's supposed to be good for your lungs too.
I like mugwort. Yeah. I should mention mugwort too, because I work with it almost every spell. It's fine.
Mugwort, I've heard, is good for smoking for your lungs as well too. But I don't know. Like, it's one of those things that like mullein and mugwort both being something that you smoke for lung support feels very contradictory to me that you're putting smoke.
It does.
It's like one of those things that there is research on it. And so like, I do believe them, but I'm never going to try it because my brain cannot compute that smoke could ever be good for your lungs.
Now see, I know, right? Well, and then I do want to warn everybody that it's not like it might not support your tummy. Like, it might support your lungs, but it might not support your tummy.
Yeah.
But
I've also heard of people doing it as like, you know, those facial steamers. Like doing that and inhaling it as a steam. I've never tried that myself. But I have heard of that as like an alternative, and that always made a little bit more sense to me because it's not smoke.
I love plants, like plant steamers. Like, I do that all the time. So good.
I don't know. I don't know, though, the research on that in terms of Steam. So, again, it makes sense, but don't quote me on it, because maybe you water with it, it cancels stuff out. I'm not sure.
Just telling you to put some molin in a bong.
I am. I'm like, rip it up, baby. Rip it up. Listen to us. We both cancel us. We're the worst. Maria wants you guys to smoke molin and die. I'm saying, hey, now, let's filter it through some water first.
There's two different stoner methods. That's
God. Oh my goodness. And then last one that I use for not everything but for a lot of stuff is chamomile flower. Chamomile. I love it. I think it is really versatile because chamomile is for growth, right? Chamomile means literally ground apple. You're welcome. Because of its smell. But chamomile can be used for growth. A lot of the times we see chamomile being used for like money and financial growth, but I see it being used for like pretty much anywhere that you want it to grow. And I use it a lot for like family and health and communication because I want like the love to grow, or I want the good energy to like grow, that sort of thing. I want my home to remain calm and have that peace grow, et cetera. And so anytime I'm doing something that I want to have gains, I have this relationship with chamomile that I feel like helps it grow.
Yeah. I love that.
Thanks.
I love that.
Chamomile also feels like such a cancer plant. Like,
have you ever used chamomile's, like, I think it would be like a cousin, the pineapple, the one that smells like pineapple and tastes like pineapple?
No, but that sounds amazing. I've never even heard of that.
10 out of 10. Recommend.
You're gonna have to send it to me after this.
If you can find it.
Yeah, you're gonna have to send it to me after this.
I forgot what it's called, but it's very good. Very good.
Goodness. So, if you were telling somebody how to research plant allies and how to cultivate those relationships upon researching them, what would you recommend?
Okay. So, while many of you would think, like, reach for, like, a witchy book, yes, but you're not going to find the whole story about the plant there. I recommend just straight up plant books to find out how they grow, to find where they grow, how, like, just like the conditions that they grow in, how they thrive, how they don't thrive. And then also looking at past medical use, folklore medicine use for it. And just like, you have to look at like all different parts of the plant, and like, you can't find all you need to know about a plant through just witchy books. Cause unfortunately a lot of witchy books will just tell you the correspondence for them and not tell you where those correspondence comes from. Yeah. Like we would say, you know, peppermint is for communication. And it's like, well, why would peppermint be used for communication? Yeah. Maybe it's because it's in our gum. It freshens up our breath. It has menthol in it. So it opens up your airways. Like we look at, you know, all these other things of where that correspondence comes from. So it's like, yes, get the witchy books. Look at the correspondence and then research why that correspondence is in place from the get-go. And even if it resonates with you, if it doesn't resonate with you, then you're just going to be using the plant willy-nilly. And that doesn't count as connecting to the, you know, the plant ally aspect of the plant.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like inner research, I really think like meditating with a plant is good, and using it in spells and recording how it works out in spells, and, you know, just kind of like documenting your relationship with it and seeing like how well it has worked. Robin's making faces at me, guys, and I'm trying to be like,
I'm not purposely trying to. My face is really tight from my TMJ. So while you're talking, I'm just doing face yoga, and sorry. Frank's gonna edit this so that way you just have a video of me going like this.
It's so hot.
If he does, I'll make it the real clip for the video for Instagram. You're all welcome. You're welcome in advance.
Frank, I do not give you permission to use a clip of me. No.
She does. I'm vetoing it. I'd like to bring up the R school thing. Veto. I took color theory. Veto. No, this is not how this works now. Actually, relax. Calm down. You're screaming at me.
But how do you recommend researching?
Honestly, I don't really have any additional advice based off of what you just said. That's exactly what I would recommend to somebody. I think meditating with plants. I also think that when you have, like, for example, myrrh and mullein are something that I started using for other things. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, well, maybe I'll start to add it more into stuff because that makes sense. Like mullein, especially being grave dirt plant, a plant replacement for grave dirt that does not have any like actual human spirit connected to it. That just started to feel like it made a lot of sense for me. And so I just started using it and meditating with it and working with it, keeping it in my house. And I think that the main thing is that these plant allies, the relationships develop on their own. You can't like force it. You can't be like, you know, oh, I work with Hestia, like you said, and it makes sense for it to be rosemary. So I'm just going to make rosemary happen for me. I think that it's a lot. It's something that develops over time, like any relationship. And it becomes a lot more conceptual when we are talking about like animistic ideas of having relationships with plants. Actually, what's her name? Julia Diaz. She has a book, Plant Witchery. That entire book is written from, in my opinion, an animist perspective of plants. I don't know that Julia describes herself as an animist. I don't want to speak on that because I genuinely don't know if that's how she describes herself. But the whole book is written in that tone to me, and I feel like you get there by working with these plants enough to see how they behave, how do they react, etc. Just like you would with tarot cards, and how we all kind of have our own interpretations over time and we build relationships with cards. So
yeah, that makes sense. I really do feel like when a connection is available, you feel it right away with the plant. Like
I totally agree. Know. And I think
you zing with it.
Yeah. it's just like meeting a potential friend. When you meet a friend and you're just like, you have a click right away. And then, you know, 8 years later, you're podcasting with them every week and they can't get rid of you.
I know, it's so great.
Somebody sent me an anonymous message on Instagram when I was doing that anonymous message thing that said that they wanted to have a friendship like ours. And I was like, you guys have literally no idea how deranged our friendship actually is. The other day, Maria sent me a Facebook reel or an Instagram reel that said, this is what the 90s sounded like, and it is a 50-second video of a woman in a windbreaker tracksuit just going, shh, 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 shh. And it was hilarious. Like, it was so fucking funny. Like,
I don't know if Robin wore those type of outfits. I just feel like she was one of me. 100%.
I definitely did. I wanted to be the girl in like the sports bra, short biker. Like, there was a girl in one of my classes who had, it was like a sports bra and bike shorts, and they were like rainbow or like, you know, the tie dye that was like super specific to the late 90s.
Yeah.
It was that pattern. And I wanted it so fucking bad. And my mom was like, no, you're not going to wear that. I was like, I think I will. And she said, and I quote, if you want workout clothes, here you go. And gave me a tracksuit. And it was hot pink. So I'm pretty sure I have photos of it somewhere. Hot. I bet I could send a picture of it. I bet I could find it and send a picture of it. Embarrassing.
Look at us.
We're just cool.
Getting, oh, with our deranged friendship, getting off track.
I know. Well, luckily we were at the end of this segment anyway. Like, we already talked. So now we're talking about ourselves, you guys. You missed us for a whole month. And now this is what you get.
Robin's my plant ally. That's just what we're saying. We're each other's plant allies.
And if you guys want more of this, every other Friday, and sometimes more often, we're on Twitch now. Oh, goodness.
We're ghost hunting.
We're ghost hunting. Ghost hunting. We're playing games. We're just being really cute and fun.
Yeah.
God, we have to
shut
up.
We're just e-girlies now. That's fine.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We're done.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, I missed your sensual voice.
I know you did. I know you did. I know you did.
I saw you getting close to, like, the mic, and I was like, wait, what's she doing? I was like, oh,
oh yeah, duh. That's what she's doing. Well.
So, what is stirring my cauldron is I've been, I don't know, it's, this summer has been so hot and so rainy that I've been, like, sequestered, like, inside the house, and it doesn't help that I've also been unwell. So, I don't know, I've been really into, like, making the home even more cozy and using magic and, of course, mundane ways to make it, like, cozy as well. And I don't know, I've been really digging it and enjoying it, and it's making me, like, super excited for fall, where, you know, this energy is just going to be amplified and turn into more kitchen witchery, because of course I'm not, like, making those heavy dishes right now that are, like, you know, the pot pie, the homemade pot pie that I like to make, but that is coming and I'm very excited. But yeah, I cannot wait to start decorating for fall. I think that is on the agenda within the next couple of weeks.
So is your Christmas tree still up?
I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. You mean my summer tree?
Yeah, your summer tree. Sorry.
Yes, it is.
We need it needs a new name. It's called, like, the seasonal tree.
Yeah, the tree of seasons.
The tree of life.
The house just looks so empty without it. It just creates, like, this amazing ambiance and stuff like that. And who doesn't want a forest indoors?
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
I mean, is it embarrassing, like, when people come and fix stuff around my house? Yes, of course it is. Do I like explaining why my tree's still up? No.
Don't explain it. Instead, do it all reverse. Be like, why is it yours not?
Exactly. But yeah. I've just been enjoying, like, I don't know, making things a little bit more cozy up in here and getting ready for fall. Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is. So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron this week?
Thank you so much for asking. That was...
Oh, you're so welcome.
I'm erect. I am ready to go. So I actually have nothing to be a hater about right now. I have literally nothing that is not stirring my cauldron right now that is podcast appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have nothing to be a hater about. So instead, I was going to talk about our book club that we're doing this month, which, because I'm really stoked on it. The main book club for the Patreon is Llewellyn just came out with a series of Zodiac witch books. So you, like, pick your sun sign, and there's a book that's been written to, like, give you advice for witchcraft within your sun sign. And so everyone is picking their sun sign, and I've grouped people up into their, like, elements. So, like, all the water signs are together, all the earth signs are together, fire and air. And we're doing it as a 2-month book club where everyone is reading about their book. They're in, like, study groups. So the first book club is going to be, like, kind of study group specific. And then the second book club, so on month two, we're going to come together and talk about what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, that sort of thing. On like a grander scale.
That is so cute.
And people are like stalking their like big three. So even if they're not reading like their moon or rising, they're still like joining those groups to hear what other people have to say and stuff. And I think it's going to be really fun.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah, I think it's just like a really cool project.
I wish I read books fast.
Well, two, they're really small books. Like it's.
Are they really small?
Like everyone is laughing because the books are smaller than their hands.
Oh, okay. But no, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, I think it's like, going to be really cool.
I love our Discord. It's so fun. We have so many fun, like cool things going on.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a really fun project that is going to be able to grow in a very unique way, unlike any of our other book clubs. So I'm pretty jazzed about it. I think it's going to be really fun.
That does sound like fun.
If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be literally anything. That being said, we are taking listener submissions now. So if you have somebody that you think is pretty rad and you would like to send them to us, please do. We would love to share them here on the podcast. As a reminder, these are not ads. These are just shops that we think are neato that you might think are neato too. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
Let me tell you who I'm finding.
Let me tell you.
So it's the Bookbinding Witch on Instagram. And just their bookbind, like, I don't know, just the covers and stuff they do are so gorgeous and so pretty. There is this Three of Swords one that I want desperately. It is just so stunning. It's like kind of like 3D bookbinding where it like has stuff that pops out.
Amazing.
Right? Did you see the Three of Hearts one? I want it so bad.
Oh my god. These are so cool.
But yes. I just find the whole like bookbinding thing like so interesting and people are so talented, and obviously this witch is very talented and
very talented.
I don't know. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Truly. Check them out because I want one.
I concur.
So what's yours? Yours is
so
adorable.
Mine is really cute. This one I am pretty sure I got recommended on Instagram. Like it was like fed to me on Instagram because Taylor Swift has been all over my music feed. And I'm not a Swiftie, but don't they do like the friendship bracelets? Is that a thing that they do at concerts?
Apparently, I'm not that into
the Swiftie
world.
Okay, so she's not a Swiftie either. Anyway, these are dog and cat collars that are best friend, like, charm necklaces. So, like, the little beads that have the letters on them is a giant version of it that you can get your dog or cat collars like that. I want one so bad.
It's so cute.
They're so freaking cute. I genuinely want to get one from Marceline so bad. They're just so freaking cute.
I could also see, like, you know, one of those, like, eccentric grandmas, like, wear it rocking one.
I mean, I would rock one. I'll be honest. I would totally wear one.
Yeah.
I'm not really a dog collar person, but I could be for the right dog collar. Yeah.
As I was telling Robin, I was like, I really like it, like when people make small things big and big things small.
So good.
Like, you know, yeah.
I love it so much. So I'm very excited about that, and I would really like to have one. Our listener submission this week is a creator on Instagram called lm.rugs. They make handmade rugs that are freaking cool.
These are so cute. It's like that sculpting rug that people do now.
Is that not the neatest thing that you ever saw?
Yes. I just want to like put my hand into it.
They've got these mushroom rugs. Fluffy. The mushroom rug is specifically what was sent to us. But they've got like mushroom rugs. There's a dragon fruit rug that's really cool. It's just so neato.
I like the leaf ones. They're very cute.
So neato. I would love it. There's also like a chocolate dipped strawberry one. That's very cool.
Oh no, people are so talented. I hate it.
So love rude. It. It's rude because I don't have that talent and I wish I did.
Right? People are so cool.
If you have some submissions that you would like to send us because you think that a creator is super awesome and that everybody else should know about them, send it to us. Email us, send us it on Instagram, whatever. Just send it to us so we can share. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope to see you again on Friday, August 16th for our Coffee Talk episode, or August 23rd for the 12th episode of season 5. We will be joined by Elwyn the Witch. We're going to talk about magical mishaps and having a good attitude. So trying to follow the same thing that we were going to do last month that we obviously didn't get to. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And don't forget to join us on August 31st at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our latest class with Samantha Weisberg on creative writing within mythology.
And additionally, please check our Patreon out. It's Magical Beginnings and offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. Like, we have so much going on in Discord. But we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself.
Yes. So please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual chef's kiss voice, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it might be. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars or any amount helps us to be seen by others. Thank you for everybody who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do. So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from Out of Tired Witch everywhere.
And Maria from @MariaTheArcane everywhere.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
One.